I think for Donald Trump, who probably enjoys the attention here of this kind of meeting, I think his primary problem is sticking to talking points and really laying the kind of groundwork that has to be laid for the kind of serious negotiations that are going to take place.
But in many respects, as Liam Panetta speaks out, as a guy who was chief of staff and CIA and defense secretary, has a lot of credibility, was a Republican, as he worries and points out, that's true. It's not tomorrow. But a lot of that groundwork is laid by his State Department, by McMaster, by Mattis, and there's not going to be any abrupt, wild, unscripted moments, I don't believe, in a summit that's proposed as we see it, if indeed comes off. And of course, Liam Panetta was responding to the breaking news last night that the overture that Kim Jong-un has made to President Trump to meet one-on-one was accepted by the president. He did not tell his Secretary of State that. He did not tell his Secretary of Defense that. But joining us now to reflect on that and the opportunity it presents, because I do believe there's an opportunity here, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. Senator, welcome back.
You bet. Glad to be with you, Brian.
I thought it was unnecessarily negative from Liam Panetta. Trump will love the attention, but he's got to prepare for the meeting, and he doesn't prepare for meetings.
Yeah, I would think that's unnecessary. Obviously, this is a meeting that we'll have to be well prepared for. We've seen him in State of the Unions and multiple other places where he comes well prepared. A lot of thought has gone into what's going to be done, and he pulls it off. So the key thing here is the deal is not done. This is a first meeting that's planning. It's a historic meeting, but I have a tremendous amount of skepticism, as I would assume President Trump does and the rest of his team. A first meeting is a good first step. But we've got to actually get denuclearization of the peninsula, and that will be the big issue.
It will be, and that's what's on the table. The president said, I'm not letting up on sanctions. I'm not pulling out 38,000 troops. I'm not reducing our military presence. They have stopped they have stopped the production of nuclear weapons. I believe, if the translation's correct, through the South Koreans, that they will stop that, and there'll be no more missile tests, and they're not asking us to not do our military exercises, which are upcoming. So that, at the very least, Senator, is different, don't you think?
Oh, it is very different. In the past, it's always been North Korea won't talk to us at all unless we pull all of our troops out and stop any military exercises and on and on and on of things that are irrational. The key thing here is we keep the sanctions in place. We keep the troops in place. We keep the pressure on. We keep the diplomatic pressure that's happening around the world. North Korea is extremely isolated right now. They are suffering under very tough sanctions, and that's pushed them to the table to be able to talk. That's exactly what sanctions are designed to do.
Right.
Sanctions are designed to be able to push towards resolution. They're working in that spot. Let's finish it out, but you don't let the pressure off until the job is done.
How did you find out? What is your initial thought? Because it looked like our Secretary of State and Defense were caught by surprise by this.
Yeah, I found out originally through the media and through the reporting that happened there. Obviously, the president let out early in the day that he had a big announcement dealing with North Korea and South Korea, but did not know what that was until it came out, which to me is fine. He doesn't have to call every senator and be able to touch base with us and let us know what he's doing. He's got his own responsibility. The key question that I had at the very beginning is, this does not mean sanctions are coming off because we're meeting. And they answered that immediately. Sanctions are staying on through the meeting, beyond the meeting, until we get a resolution.
I know, Senator, you're going to be... you have a big night, as you'll be speaking at the 11th annual Northwest Suburban Republican Lincoln Day Dinner. That'll be on Friday night. Good. Lincoln's still safe. We can still salute Lincoln as part of our history. No one wants to take his statue down, I hope.
No one's taking Lincoln away at this point, and it's a good thing to be able to continue to celebrate in the land of Lincoln. It'll be a fun night. It's a big crowd. Obviously, in Illinois, they know how to be able to celebrate Lincoln well, but it's an incredible heritage.
I know that a lot of people are looking for the president to come down hard on Russia, and I hear it's coming soon through Homeland Security. You're on the Appropriations Committee. You're on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. You are now talking about security and protection against Russian interference come the midterms. How do you plan on brushing them back?
Yeah, the key thing here is, Brian, is it's not just against Russian interference. It's against any interference. The Russians did it one time, as we've seen in so many times. Once somebody does it, there's a lot of copycats. So just because Russia did it last time doesn't mean China doesn't do it the next time, doesn't mean Iran doesn't do it the next time, doesn't mean just some hacktivist group in the United States doesn't try to be able to cause some chaos. So the key thing here is, let's secure our elections. We saw what happened that the Russians were able to get in and poke around in 21 different states. So I want to be able to have some greater cooperation between the states who run the elections. Now, I will clearly say the federal government does not run elections. States run elections. But the federal government at times sees threats that are coming at the states that the states don't see. And so I want to have greater streamlined communication between the states and the federal government. And I want to also encourage, there's about 12 states that cannot audit their elections. They have no way to be able to validate their election results after it's over. I'd like to encourage them to get a system in place so they can audit. That means there's 38 states that can audit their elections. It's not like it can't be done, but they purchased systems at some point that can't be audited. I'd encourage them to be able to fix that.
I want to move on to tariffs. Here's what the president made official yesterday. Cut 36.
Today, I'm defending America's national security by placing tariffs on foreign imports of steel and aluminum. We will have a 25% tariff on foreign steel and a 10% tariff on foreign aluminum.
Your reaction? It's now official, and he carves out Mexico, and he carves out Canada. What's your reaction to this, Senator?
Yeah, he actually carved out most of our allies at the same time. He's walking a very difficult line here. I completely understand how he's trying to push back on China and those that China sends materials to and then produces it and sends it out from there. So they kind of circumvent the system where it's really Chinese steel, but they're sending it to Vietnam first, so they're sending it somewhere else to try to send it to us. So he's doing a national security tariff, which would mean it has to be globally, but then he's excluding everyone, and I think he's going to eventually exclude everyone except basically China in this and try to be able to get there. That is the difficult challenge that he has. No question China is using their government funds to be able to subsidize what's happening. Those steel industries are all communist industries, and then they're trying to be able to dump steel into the worldwide market. That does have a real effect from cutting out both jobs and our national security. But we've got to be able to keep our allies out of this. They didn't do something wrong. They're trying to be able to follow the rules on it. We've got to be able to deal with the people that did violate the rules.
And, Senator, I just want to bring you to a quote from the EU. He said, if Donald Trump puts in place the measures that he talked about, we have a whole arsenal at our disposal in which to respond. We must accept the world becomes a place of each man for himself. We want Congress to understand that this would be a lose-lose situation. And at the same, and as you pretty much addressed that, but keep in mind who'd win. An example, the superintendent of Century Aluminum, Dusty Stevens, who was at the White House, literally in a blue-collar shirt, cut 37.
Right now we're running at 40% capacity. 2 years ago, we shut down 60% of the capacity when we had a downturn in the market. My father worked in the industry and worked at that plant for 40 years, so this hits home for all of us at Hallsville. By these tariffs going into place, this gives us the ability to come back to 100% capacity, investing over $100 million to our plant, and over 300 and some odd jobs will be brought back to the communities. So I'd like to say thank you.
Now, there could be blowback and ramifications that hurt other industries, but it's hard to hear that and think the president doesn't have his heart in the right place.
No, I think he has his heart in the right place. The unknown is what happens next. So if the EU does additional tariffs on other products and tries to be able to punish other industries, those industries are going to come back at the president and say, hey, we have to be able to get some relief here. We're caught in the middle of it. We're not steel users or producers. If car manufacturing suddenly starts being pushed offshore again and the domestic manufacturing is hurt by that, that becomes a bigger issue. So there are lots of things to be able to pay attention to. The key thing I think the president has done in the last 72 hours is he said, hey, this is a worldwide tariff, and then he started excluding people immediately, Mexico, Canada. And he said our security alliances. And so as he pulls those away and narrows the focus, I think that strengthens it. As long as it's a tariff on everyone for everything, I think that weakens our negotiating point because there are a lot of people that weren't bad actors in this. We've got to go after those that are.
Senator, are you somebody, when it comes to this Russia investigation, are concerned how long this Mueller probe is going?
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up, obviously. And I'm not saying I know anything about the speed of his investigation, but it's been my concern from the very beginning that special counsels can go as long as they want to go. In the Reagan special counsel on Iran-Contra, that was 6 years Reagan was out of office and the special counsel was still ongoing trying to do their investigation. So it is the danger of any special counsel that they really have no time limit. My key point is the American people want to get answers. They deserve answers. Get the investigation done as quickly as possible. Get it out. In the next 2 weeks, the Senate Intelligence Committee is going to start releasing the first of our multi-phase reports on election security itself and what were the specific recommendations that we would make on election security. So we're trying to get our work wrapped up as well. And the special counsel, I would fully expect he would do his work, do it well, do it fairly, and then he'd be able to get it done. No person's above the law, but that includes investigators and the investigated. Everyone has to be fair in this process.
So the first, you have the first release. When do you think the Senate, you guys are going to be done?
It'll be a couple of months still before we're done. We're breaking this out into pieces and trying to be able to get it out as quickly as we can. We thought the election security piece would be the best piece to be able to get out first.
Right.
Because that we already have primaries that are going on. That'll be just our counsel. Here's what we saw through the hacking. And again, this doesn't go back to Russians doing it next time. They may try to do it again. But I want to make it clear to every election official, this is what they did. This is what could be done. So be attentive to this, whether it be a domestic terrorist or whether it be someone that's a foreign entity. This is our vulnerability.
Senator, can you tell me if you've seen anything without breaking the sanctity of intelligence, if you've seen anything that disturbed you about how the Trump campaign interacted with the Russians or didn't?
I can't go into all the issues on the details at this point because we're trying to be able to do this together in a bipartisan report and to be able to put out all of our information together. But I would tell you, based on the media and what you have seen, there's a lot of noise around it. No question that the Russians were trying to be able to reach out to us. I've yet to see any information that there were Americans reaching back to them to try to be able to get this done. So that's a big difference. No question the Russians were trying to interfere, though.
Lastly, we had Jim Jordan on, we had Trey Gowdy on, and both want a second special counsel to look into these FISA courts. Are you one of those people that support a second special counsel?
You know what? I'm not far off of that. I'm not calling for that at this point. The reason I'm holding back is I want the Inspector General to be able to get out his report. That is still pending in the next couple of weeks. Once the Inspector General gets out the report, then I think that calls for what happens in the next step, and we'll see what that next step is.
Senator, can't thank you enough. Appreciate your loyalty to the show, always telling us what's happening, and hope to see you soon.
You bet. Good to see you again, Brian.